Good morning. You're turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. We will continue with our study in Ephesians chapter 2 as we're going throughout this full chapter. I appreciate all the songs on the blood of Jesus this morning because that's what we're going to talk about. It's amazing the way the Lord works things out for us. If you will turn your Bibles to Ephesians 2, we're going to start with verse 12. I'm sorry, verse 12. He says in verse 12, that at times where ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world, as you were that state. But now, he says, verse 13, in Christ you who were sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enemy, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereabout, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers but foreigners. I'm sorry, strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building was fitly framed together, groweth unto the holy temple of the Lord, and in whom you also were builded together for the inhabitation of God through the Spirit. The blood of Jesus.
Amen.
The most precious thing to us in this world is the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
The gospel saves us. The death, burial, resurrection. But the blood of Jesus washes all of our sins away. Purifies us.
Amen.
Makes us as though we had never committed one sin. God has, in this chapter, continually had us on a spiritual roller coaster, up and down from sinner to saint. But God has shown us in the details of this chapter how we got from sinners to saint repeatedly. One cannot study this chapter or ever believe in the Arminian teaching of this world about salvation as a decision, a choice, a prayer, or a work. Salvation, without question, is the work of God from start to finish without any actions on our part. If people want to trust their own actions for salvation, then their end will find out, and in the end they will find out that they were only wrong. In verses 8 through 10, if read correctly and in context of this chapter, one must conclude that God saves sinners by his grace, mercy, and love, and by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That your salvation was a gift from God to you, ordained before the foundation of the world and manifested in due time, or the day that you were saved. Now God tells us that we are made nigh by the blood of Christ, not by works, baptism, church membership, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are not made nigh. We are not made nigh. We do not have our sins forgiven. We do not have peace with God. We are not made the children of God. to be cast aside because we sin after we are saved. We are eternally saved. God made us these things because He wanted us to be His children. And God does not cast us in and out of His family. God has given us an eternal gift in salvation in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
An eternal relationship with us, with our Father, with our Savior, and with each other. It's an eternal relationship. He has made us nigh or close to Him. He has made us His children, and as an eternal act it is. So not let us look at our closeness to God as His beloved children. Let us look at this as a gift from God all the way down from the election of us before the foundation of the world into the time that Jesus came to this world and gave His life and blood on that cross, all the way down to where God sent someone to tell you about the gospel of Christ and how the blood of Jesus washed away your sins.
Amen.
Down to the very moment when He revealed it to you. He starts at verse 13, which will be our starting text this morning. But now in Christ Jesus, that is after God has saved you. But now is after He has saved you. God had just told us that there's no difference. God had just told us that what we are in Christ is not what we are in this world. But what we are in Christ is children of God. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter what part of the world you come from, what race you are, or what creed you are. All that matters is that God has saved you through the precious blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if He has, you are the child of God. Too many barriers have been put up. Too many walls have been put up. God never told us as Christians, for the sovereign grace put up this barrier. For those who are not sovereign grace put this barrier. You are what you are by the grace of God. And God chose not to make them what you are. But what God did choose to do is to save them. If you ever run across another believer in Jesus Christ, don't ever treat them wrong. Don't ever be rude to them. Don't ever be cruel to them. I got Sovereign Grace Baptist preachers right now that are rude to me. And I get sick and tired of it. I'm not putting up with any more. I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to pray for them very hard. It is sickening to me at the way that some people that call themselves Christians put up walls and barriers around them, trying to make out like they're the only ones that exist in God's family. One of the greatest preachers ever lived on the face of this earth, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and John Gill, who was before him, did not even believe in the Lord's church. And these same preachers would allow either one of them to preach in their church if they were here today. The Lord says, after you are saved, but now, you've changed. Now you're different. You're no longer the same. You are a child of God. And that makes you different. And you were made that child of God in Jesus Christ. No other way.
Amen.
Baroska Mink said this, but now things are different. Paul's contrast. Now, he says, with the past, and shows that it is Christ that makes the difference. It is not merely now, it is now in Christ. You understand what he's saying? I am what I am by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the workings of Jesus Christ, through the life of Jesus Christ. Everything about Christ is our salvation. From his birth to his holy living to his sinless life to the way that he died to the way that he was buried to the way that he rose from the grave and to the way that he sits on the right hand of the Father God.
Amen.
Everything about Jesus Christ is who we are in this life. We are now in Christ Jesus, just as Brother Mink so brilliantly pointed out. No other way. You're not now any other way. If you are now any other way, you are not now. You are the same. You have not changed. You have only changed in your mind if you made decisions for Christ, if you turned over a new leaf, if you were baptized to be saved, or you're working your way to heaven, you are not now in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Any sinner who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is taken into union with God. You were at enmity with God. That's who you were. But now in Christ Jesus, you are in union with God. You have access to your Father. Because now you are in Christ Jesus. And only because now you are in Christ Jesus. Believe me, the Lord Jesus Christ is now. And you will be a child of God if you believe on him now. You will go from what was to what is now in Christ Jesus. If that don't get your attention, I don't know what will. I cannot preach people to salvation. There's not a message on this earth I can preach to make anyone believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one. I can preach a message in which the Holy Spirit uses to convict someone to come to Christ. But until that conviction from the Holy Spirit, until that bringing to Christ by the Holy Spirit, until Jesus puts you on his shoulders and brings you to the fold, you will never believe in Jesus Christ in this lifetime. There's nothing I can say, nothing we can do to change, because the change is now in Christ Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now, and you will be in eternity. You will be in eternity and in union with God himself. It is all accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. All sins can be forgiven by his blood. 1 Corinthians 1. All sins can be forgiven by his blood. And salvation accomplished by his actions as described in the gospel. How that he died according to the scriptures. How that he was buried and how he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Believest thou thus, saith the Lord? If you are saved this morning, you are the one spoken of and the but now in Christ Jesus. You've changed. You're different. You're no longer what you were. Some Christians may act like what they were, but they're not. They also have been changed if they have been saved. Not all Christians act like they should. God the Father has made us righteous only in Christ Jesus. There is no other righteousness. There is no other way to be righteous. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. None. Flesh. No lost people. None. Not one. Anybody who has not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ is now not now in Christ Jesus. But of him you are in Christ. Don't miss that. Don't miss that little bitty word when he says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. Who of God is made unto us wisdom. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, and it is because of him that you have that wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, all because of God. He spent the entire chapter telling us how we were saved by his grace and mercy and love, and how he brought us to Christ. How he ordained us to be what we are alive. Don't forget that. The next time you see a Christian that tells you they're a Christian, you don't know if they are or not. You cannot tell every time a tree by its fruit. It may not give any fruit. It may not have any fruit. It may be a barren tree. Instead of criticizing them, why don't you just love them? And thank God that you do have understanding. Because if it were not by the grace of God, you would be exactly what they are, without any fruits, without any understanding, without any wisdom, without any knowledge. It's not our smarts. It's not that they're stupid. Not that they can't learn. Nobody can learn if God doesn't teach them. That's what God just told us right here in the scripture, isn't it? And then he goes on. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Again. How many times has the Lord got to beat you over the head with this? To make you understand that you are blessed of God right now, that you are in the house of the Lord. You are blessed of God that you are a member in the Lord's church. Amen. You are blessed of God that you are even a child of God. You have nothing to glory of. I've sat here and told you time and time and time again that if Charles Haddon Spurgeon was alive today, he would tell you he has nothing to glory of. And I just read that very article this weekend online, where he criticized men who thought they had something to glory of in their life. Paul made it well known to us all that we are only what we are by his grace. God just told us everything in our life. If you are in Christ Jesus, it is because of God. It is because of God that you have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And then he tells us, as it's written in the Old Testament, you don't have anything to glory of. 2 Corinthians. Tell people when they do a good job for the Lord. Go ahead, tell them. But be careful not to give them too much praise. When the preachers come here and preach at our Bible conference, or a visiting preacher comes by, you don't hesitate, if you enjoyed the message, to let them know that you enjoyed it. It makes them feel good. But don't pat them on the back too hard. Don't celebrate them too much. Because that's not His message. That is God's message. Everything we preach, everything we speak, everything we do belongs to the Lord our God. It doesn't belong to us. In Christ Jesus is the now. We are new, changed, different. I mean, if you hand out a new item, it hasn't never been used, has it? You are new. You may not be the only one that's ever received it, and it may have been given for thousands of years, but to you, it's new. And that is eternal life. It is new. That is but now. But now you are new. Now you are different. Now you are God's child in Christ Jesus. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Lord said these words, "Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature." Think about that. You're new. In Christ Jesus, you're new. Why is that, Pastor? Because old things are passed away, it says. And behold, all things become new. You know what's new about it? You never did it before. If you were not saved, you were not honoring God. I don't care what you did. You could have gave good money to the church. You could have walked around mowing people's yards. You could have gave anything you wanted to the betterment and been morally excited. But to God, you're nothing. God don't look at that stuff. Because once you're saved, you're new. Listen. He says, all things are become new. And then he goes on in the next verse, verse 18. And all things are of God. How many? All things. See, those words get lost with a lot of people. Don't pass by them on nonchalant. Don't pass by them as sleepy to you. Notice these things. I try to notice them when I read them to you. Because that's the most important thing here. Is that all things are God. They're given to you of God. Who has reconciled us to Himself. How? By Jesus Christ. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given it to us. He's given it to us in Christ Jesus, but He's given it to us. To wit, it goes on to say, that God was in Christ. That means His workings are in Christ. They're not in your works, they're not in your baptism, they're not in your church, they're not in your church membership. They're in Christ. Well, they are here. That's because this church is in Christ. Most of what calls themselves churches are not in Christ. They're independent of God. They have nothing to do with God. Reconciling that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself through Christ. That was God's chosen reconciliation or way of it. And this next part is dumbfounding to me. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. Thank you, Lord. I can never thank God enough that he does not impute my trespasses toward me.
Amen.
How beautiful is them words. The most outstanding words to any sinner saved by the grace of God is that God, through Christ Jesus, will never impute your sins toward you. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Romans 8. Only in Christ Jesus. It gets old listening to people of other denominations, the Arminians out there, who talk about salvation as though it has something to do with us. Say, I thought you wouldn't criticize other Christians. I'm not. I'm not up here to make everybody feel good. I'm up here to preach the truth. And if people do not believe, I don't care if they're churches or not, quote unquote, if people do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're not a child of God. If they have not formed a church properly, they are not a church. When people, religionists, I call them Christian religionists. I got that from a commentary one time I read, that they are religious Christians. Are Christian religionists. Because that's what they are. They're religionists. They're not Christians. They call themselves Christians, but they're not. Because Jesus Christ is not their foundation. Themselves are their foundation. Their works are their foundation. Their church membership are their foundation. Unless you follow Joel Osteen or all the other heretics out there on TV, and they have no foundation. Their money is their foundation.
Amen.
But now, back to our scripture in Ephesians 2, verse 13, but now Christ Jesus will never be what you were before. You've changed. The Lord said, you are a new creature. God said, he hath made us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's what God had made us. And then he told us that we are in Christ, we are new creatures. Old things are passed away. He's given us something the world never had. He gave us salvation. He gave us redemption. He gave us reconciliation. He gave us something new in this life. He gave us an adoption to be his children. God's been good to us. I get tired of people talking about what they have or don't have, how hard life may be or how hard it may not be for others. God just ain't doing for me what he's doing for others. Don't ever say that. If you judge what God has given you by materials, by money, or by houses, by cars, or anything else like that, or your church building ain't pretty enough. If you don't like your church building, walk outside, get under a tree, and worship the Lord there. That building's not the church. And what you have in this life is not the measure in which God loves you. God gives us what he wants us to have. He gives us life, and he gives us death. And one day we're going to be born, and one day we're going to die. It's all by the hands of God. You measure your love of God that you're even saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Not a house, not a car, not a paycheck, not a job. He gave his Son that you might have life. And life everlasting, life eternal. You thank God every day that God does not measure your works like other people say he does. And by that, you will either get into heaven or not in heaven. I can tell you one thing right now. When I die, I will be in the kingdom of God. Because God told me I would. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Why not, Lord? Because of what he said in Ephesians 2:13, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation to you. Because he goes on to say right here, to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, there is condemnation to those who are not in Christ Jesus. But if you are in Christ Jesus this morning, there is no condemnation for you. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because you are a child of God, you should be walking according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life is in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the laws of sin and death. I've been set free. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, that means nobody could live it. You know who lived the law to every jot and every tittle, crossed every T and dot every I? Jesus Christ. Amen. It's weak. It wasn't weak to Jesus, but it's weak. God sending his own Son in the likeness, and the likeness, and the likeness of sinful flesh. And why? Why did the Father send his Son? For sin. To die on that cross for sin. Condemned sin in the flesh. That's what he did. He condemned sin. He didn't condemn you, he condemned the sin. And took it to the cross, and it died there with him. You know, it's like a person has cancer in their body and they die. The cancer dies with them. Our sins died with Jesus, all of them. All of them. Every sin you've ever committed and every sin you commit and every sin you ever will commit died on the cross of Jesus. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Isn't that wonderful? Did you hear what he just told us? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. I'm not going to fulfill it. I sin every day. But Jesus fulfilled it. And because he did, I fulfilled it. Because he did, I fulfilled it. All right, that's our first point. We will get to our second point, third point, and I have to look at my notes. Fourth point, see how many points. I've been up a long time this morning, folks, working very hard. But I am so grateful for this opportunity to be able to preach on this. This is the most wonderful study I've had in a long time. I'm glad that it's enjoyed by you all. I know that it is. Amen.